Let's pray. Father, we pray that that the words of our mouth would be acceptable in your sight, and that we go away with something useful to ponder about and to consider your work in the body of Christ, in the church here in Jerusalem and around the world. Well, Lord, we pray you'll enlighten our eyes and give us insight further into your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you that know me well know that I've never liked to be the center of attention, and this time is no exception. What I'm about to share with you is something somewhat out of the ordinary because this time it has quite a lot to do with me and my walk with the Lord, and hopefully by extension our walk as a body of believers here in the city of Jerusalem. Daily coping with a new reality, extra pyramidal, a new neurological condition, or Parkinson's, has been a real test. The outward manifestation is one of near facial expressionlessness and the customary trembling in my right side, the side I favor. The question I've been asking myself is, how do I treat people with disability? Perhaps we don't know how to respond. Having personally experienced the effects of this condition, I can't but help but notice the reactions of others as they observe that there is something less than 100% going on. I have at times related to people with weakness in less than an understanding manner, perhaps out of fear of the unknown, not taking the time it requires to appreciate the needs of the individual to communicate, to fully feel human and accepted. How do I manage with this new physical condition? With lots of help for Liz and the family, simple things that are not as simple as before, like shaving, buttoning small buttons on shirt sleeves, using a screwdriver, taking notes or typing later, all need extra time and effort. I've had to become a lot better with my left hand than ever before, because I'm right-handed. One warm afternoon, when coming to the church office here at Narcisse and parking my scooter, a young lady must have noticed the extra time I was taking to park or adjust my helmet, and she stopped in her tracks and with a concerned look asked kindly in Hebrew, "Hakol baseder? Is everything all right?" Which let me know, to my dismay, how much my situation is outwardly discernible. While not allowing me to overwhelm me, coping with this disability is never far from my consciousness. A few days ago, I was picking up our granddaughter, Talin, from the kindergarten, gone, and the other cute little three-year-olds waiting at the door to be taken home. Without inhibition, we're staring at my trembling hand. Then I stuck my quivering hand in my pocket, as you probably noticed me doing repeatedly, and like it is right now. The trembling phenomenon seems to be more pronounced when under pressure to speak before a crowd or some other intense situation. Instead of asking why me, we should be asking what for. There might not be a fully satisfying answer to this. Satisfying answer to this side of heaven. For one thing, the what for question is being answered for me in increased awareness of others' needs and the general brokenness of this world order and the relative brevity of this life. How does one continue to trust the Lord for healing and strength while not denying the all too obvious? I am faced with a dilemma when asked, how are you? How often should I go into all the details or give the less transparent and quick version? Is it confessing doubt to be open about one's health status? Thus, some proponents of the name it and claim it doctrine would have us believe. I don't believe faith confession can be so easily undone by talking of realities in one's life as some of in this distorted view of faith, advocate. And I was thinking about John's talk on Jacob, who wasn't dependent on him for God to fulfill his promise, even though he had a lot of quirks in his character. God overruled and brought him through, and not dependent on him. So in the same way, we can be open about our condition. When Jesus asked the blind man what he wanted, which was obvious, so obvious to everyone around, he acknowledged his condition and went on to say, I want to see. Then Jesus healed him. Neither is God a vending machine. Merely make your order and outcomes your desire. Life hands out in equal portions, both good and tragic doses to all of us. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The difference for the believer is that he promised to go through the difficulties with us and at times removing mountains and parting seas. But it's not automatic. It's not just some kind of formula. Growing up, I was literally raised on testimonies and stories of God's healing and ability to break through our experiences and deliver us from evil and brokenness. My father, almost 93 years of age, to this day conducts a weekly Tuesday night service in his local church where he preaches and prays for the sick. He, in his advanced years, preaches from a chair and keeps his cane nearby, bringing a message of faith and practical wisdom, born out of a life of dedicated ministry. As the offer of salvation through Jesus and forgiveness is freely being daily preached around the world, by the same token, healing is for today. Healing is for today. Healing is the children's bread. Their right through the atoning stripes Jesus suffered on his back. 40 years ago, I came down with Bell's palsy. That affected my right half of my face. In short, the Lord set me free from this disease and did not allow me to shut my right eye, and the total loss of the right side of my face for 3 weeks. Not feeling any need to be in the center has actually worked well with my firm conviction that a pastor is not supposed to do all the ministry himself. As is quite often the case in many congregations, but rather mentor and encourage the development of the gifts of the body so there is truly body ministry versus a few shining stars doing it all in the congregation. The seeming frailty of life and health, well-being, has confirmed the feelings I've had that a shepherd is essentially to be a facilitator, encourager of others, not a one-man show. There were many biblical characters that lived with weakness and disability, yet prayed for miracles and witnessed mighty answers to prayer. Paul with his thorn in the flesh was one. Though he was the agent God used to deliver multitudes, he suffered an aggravating infirmity. We won't go into the nature of the thorn. Enough to be said that he didn't like it and prayed that it be removed at least 3 times. And he said, "My grace is sufficient." I used to quickly gloss over the short reference to the disciple Trophimus being left ill by Paul at Miletus on one of his many journeys, 2 Timothy 4:20. But now it speaks to me more pointedly and personally as I take more time to consider apparent weakness, the stuff that makes for ultimate victory in God's economy. 1 Samuel 4 and verse 15, the prophet Eli was blind, yet known as a seer, knowing the secrets of people's hearts. Notwithstanding, yes, we will continue to pray and believe for healing in the lives of the congregation and in myself. However, and to the when, the why, and the wherefore, we will leave in His sovereign hands. His sovereignty to me means that He is never manipulated, as magical occultism suggests. That if only we can come up with the right formula, He is obliged to do our bidding. He is rather always there, loving, righteous in all His ways, always on time. And here I have to give you my praise report. In the last few weeks, along with my family, we've noticed an improvement in certain aspects of my condition. So I give thanks to the Lord for that. Thanks be to God. Yet it is still true that in my weakness, He is strong. And I thought a way to close this time would be like Abraham, who couldn't have children. He prayed for others and that they might have children. And God honored his prayer. So can we, with our weakness and our limitations, pray for one another at this time? I was thinking we could make little circles and just in 3-4 minutes time, we can pray with one another and ask one another if there's a particular need in our lives, and we could trust the Lord to do the work that only He can do. And I'm sure we'll be surprised to find out later on, or maybe even on the spot, that God has moved sovereignly and mightily in our behalf. Let's do that. Let's form circles and gather and just find out what need there is, what we can pray for one another with, and let's trust the Lord to do mighty things amongst us.